Hello, my name is Brian Grogsgaard, and I'm the editor of PostStatus.
And I'm Joe, the CTO and co-founder of HumanMade, and welcome to the PostStatus Draft Podcast.
We are so live once again. Joe and I are in Boston for a day of rest, which is actually 3 days.
Badly named.
Yeah, a day of rest conference surrounded by 2 days of workshops. We actually have a special guest in the room, Zach Gordon from JavaScript for WP.
Hi there, folks. Happy to be sitting in here.
Yeah, so that may give you a hint of our topic today. We're not going to talk specifically about a day of rest and feeling restful stuff, but we're going to keep with the theme of JavaScript, which I guess is the most common way to utilize the WordPress REST API, drink. and we're going to talk about JavaScript in WordPress.
I feel like the workshops and the conference, you know, we're kind of verging really on a JavaScript conference and stuff at this point. I think most of the stuff that we've seen is all JavaScript. So though it's anchored to WordPress,
I think from a marketing perspective, we probably would have been better off calling JavaScript WordPress conference.
I think so.
JavaPress.
JavaScript deeply.
I own that domain.
Oh, wow.
JavaScriptDeeply.com. It just goes to this random page on PostStatus that has nothing on it.
Nothing to do with JavaScript.
No, just nothing.
Oh, literally.
It's just like a blank page. But yeah, so in terms of talking about JavaScript in a WordPress context, we won't speak as much from a core perspective, but it's probably worth just starting by saying, what are the primary packages from a JavaScript perspective that you get with WordPress core?
Yeah, sure. Like, I think if you're going to write JavaScript the WordPress way or whatever, like either in the admin or in theming, then the libraries that are heavily used there is our good old friend jQuery, still very popular, especially for, you know, the AJAX request layer and things like that. Also the amount of plugins, jQuery UI, all that type of stuff.
How up to date does core keep those packages? Do we update it every release basically, or do we have to have wrappers for backwards compatibility?
So they are updated. I think it should be every major release around when the other libraries are bumped as well. But there is also a compat. So you'll actually, if you enqueue jQuery in WordPress, then you get two libraries, a backcompat one. I think that also jQuery, there is a new version, and they're getting a little better, more aggressive with dropping compat for older browsers. And exactly how that will work longer term with core, I'm not sure, but there's also been a lot of conversation in core recently around browsers that we're going to support for things like the new editor, Epic, things like that. So it's probably all up in the air.
Epic is the name, the code name of the editor project.
Is it?
Isn't it?
I meant in a broad sense.
You mean
of
Epic
large
as
task.
In like it's a large task?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if it's called Epic as well.
It should be called Epic. I think it's actually called Gutenberg. Or did I say that right?
Gutenberg? What is?
Yeah, like the press.
Oh, okay.
The printing press.
Carrying over the metaphor.
Yeah. So, and that project is primarily in JavaScript. So that gets us into the next thing of like, you know, what are people doing in JavaScript? And that one's, if I'm not mistaken, it's actually veering a little bit away from the other packages. I want to pull Zach in here too to figure out how he approaches, okay, we're doing JavaScript in WordPress now. Because beyond jQuery, the other big packages would be Backbone and Underscores for admin style stuff. So Zach, when you're introducing people to JavaScript in WordPress, do you start with just straight JavaScript, or do you tell people the tools they have available within a WordPress context by default? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, so my approach in general lately has been trying to do everything the native JavaScript way, just because I think in teaching, that's a good place to start, and then they could move on to jQuery. But as you mentioned, Backbone and Underscores are built in. I think that maybe if folks are using jQuery in their code already, they should probably look at leveraging underscores a little bit, because if it may help.
So jQuery with underscores and whether you use Backbone or not.
Right, even before you maybe get into Backbone, because Backbone requires it and has it as a dependency. And honestly, even before, I would lead folks to trying to build something in the admin or front end with Backbone, I'd probably recommend another library that's bundled with Core, which is the Backbone API client in JavaScript. And so that's really easy to use, even if you're still using some jQuery or just native JavaScript, and opens up the API in a super easy way where you don't really even need to understand Backbone. So that's another really cool thing that we get in Core, and probably the first place I point people to is really
value
towards
in that on the front end.
Super. Yep.
Cool. Yeah, because when I think of Backbone, I typically think of like back-end WordPress applications. Like, I want to extend the admin and I want to create an interactive layer. The medium, you know, the media model is the classic one because that's what it was built in. But it was kind of the first big deep dive that Daryl Cooper Smith like went down deep and came out several months later, and here was the media library. But since then, it's obviously been used much more, documented, standardized a little more. Well, documented some, but yeah, knowing that you can actually pull via the client to the front end, that's very interesting. If we say we're not worrying about what's bundled in Core WordPress, which if you're in the admin, it's kind of nice to worry about what's bundled in Core WordPress because you want to leverage those tools. But on the front end, you really just have the same broad base tooling options that you have with any web application. So we don't have to care about what Core WordPress does. So what would y'all say is your soup du jour right now? Because JavaScript changes a lot in terms of what's hot, you know? So right now, what would be your preferred front-end application?
Well, this will be easy for me to pass the mic here in a moment because I'm a really big fan of Joe's little library that helps with OAuth on the front end. And again, it could be plugged into Angular, React, even just straight JavaScript or jQuery, and handles the authentication and lets you really easily query and get the stuff that you want. So again, I'm a really big fan of what's the simplest tool we could use to let the most happen. And so I really like that. And I'm going to pass the mic over to Joe then to let him expand on that.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's a good general point of, you know, using the most appropriate tool, and you don't have to jump in, you know, with all of the libraries that are out there. There is so many frameworks and libraries in the JavaScript ecosystem, ways of building applications and things like that. That it's not really a question of like which one is better. So I wouldn't recommend approaching it with like, well, I need to evaluate them all and work out which is the best one. There are kind of just different ways to achieve the same thing, really. Angular, Vue, React, even, you know, Backbone for views and things like that. There's no kind of objective answer which is better for these. And even, you know, some of them are for quite similar use cases. It's really just down to what you prefer. So I myself am really enjoying React and have been doing that for a while.
With Redux and everything, right?
Depending on the size of thing that you're building, again, if you're building something small, just stick with React. It's much easier than introducing something like Redux. But for much larger stuff, then absolutely. A lot of people really enjoying writing Vue stuff. I know that Bryce Adams with Meteoric is super into that. The main point, I think, is like you can just really pick any of these, and they're all great tools, right, that have good communities around them. And you're going to be able to build some really cool stuff. So don't kind of feel choice paralysis of like not knowing the best way to go. Mm-hmm. I personally like the component model, which is quite...
And both Vue and React are component.
They're very focused on that. Even new Angular stuff is kind of taking some
Angular
cues from
too,
that.
Does.
So something that allows you to encapsulate like that. Like we're working on a project at the moment where the whole, we have the whole design and we're building it in React, and we're completely building the components separate to the implementation. So that is, you know, we've got 100 components, say, in another repository that are from this design. And we can have developers do that separately, run all of the cross-browser testing on a component at a time in isolation. There's like a CSS file per component, so it's very scalable way of building things. And then when it actually comes to the implementation of the site, you're now only having to just pull in components. You're not having to deal with actually building out templates at the same time, which I like a lot.
Zach, I know you've really been into just straight ES6 JavaScript, but from a framework perspective, I know you've done a ton of research and experimentation with the different ones. How transferable is that knowledge? So like if you say you commit a month or whatever to learning Vue or learning React, how well does that knowledge transfer work if then your next project chooses a different one? And sometimes that could be client-led, you know, like the client could have an existing application or they want for whatever purposes to use a different one. Like how how useful is your previous experience gonna be for the next one?
Yeah, I think definitely the learning the nth thing applies here, because once you learn one of them, you're going to pick up basic things about how apps are structured in this way, what tools you might be leveraging, what things you might get out of the box and not. So once you learn one, it does make it a little bit easier. And most of the people you're talking about them and are able to compare them have built something simple or it may be in production with each of them. I think that the likelihood maybe of that happening, if you're in a place where you're kind of controlling how you would approach projects, even though some are better for different jobs, I think that once you kind of get down one path and you see the pros and cons of it, maybe you've looked at the other, most people, like Joe said, are able to stick with one and keep on going.
So you do think there's value in someone that can control their tooling? You think there's value in them kind of choosing one of those ecosystems? If, say, like whether it's Angular, React, or Vue, I'll use those three because they're all popular.
Yeah, I definitely do, especially if we're talking in the context a little bit of WordPress folks and what types of things you're going to commonly be building, how many shops out there are really doing completely different things from one thing to the next that might apply to them. But most folks kind of get into a rhythm and build up their own internal tool set. So having a framework of choice there. One thing I will say about React, and I've heard this from folks who use it a lot in production, and you hear this pretty commonly, is at the end of the day, it's ultimately JavaScript. So one of the reasons I like introducing people through that angle, and that'll be the first one that I tackle, is because all of the JavaScript we've learned, you could see it fit into this component architecture. And even the basic JavaScript apps we're building are all component-based. I'm using very much that React style in the component architecture. So I like that one. And when you start with Angular with a lot more out of the box, and then you switch over and you realize, oh, React doesn't really come with a ton. So that's there are some differences there.
Yeah, let's transition to that. And I guess we should include Backbone underscores as our number four. Let's spend maybe a minute or two on each in terms of how much is it a put it together yourself type of thing? Because I know Angular's more reputation is more like this is what you get. It's more opinionated up front in terms of this is how you manage routing and state and various things versus React. There might be a lot more, you know, like...
Don't even get routing out of the box. So,
right. So, but you like choose, you know, what you want and you like put it into your React bag and then you like go check out, you know, like now you've got your React tool set, but you put it together. It's less opinionated with just straight up React. So can y'all, but this is just my assumptions. I haven't built applications like y'all have. So can y'all talk about like how true that is, how much it matters and how it affects projects that you work on?
So I could give a super oversimplification that folks could probably pick apart in quite some depth. But I would say that Backbone's strength tends to be around the organization of data and where you see it used in the client JS library. We're not even really concerned about the view aspect of it. And it really just is organizing things into collections and models that can be easily used with whatever we're doing. The biggest thing I hear about the strengths for picking Angular over maybe some of the others are if you're doing a lot of work with forms, that tends to be what I hear is one of the reasons you might pick it over another project.
What specifically about forms makes
it? I believe that you get a lot more out of the box. And when you're writing events and you want certain things to happen with forms or how it's remembered and the state of it, React out of the box is not going to offer you as many. You're going to end up writing a bit more custom.
All the conditionals and stuff that go along with what a form might do.
Right, right. And then you don't have Redux for maybe some of the state. Again, I just want to keep a super oversimplification, but the React strength that I tend to see is it's really quick to get up and running, and the component architecture makes it really great for working with design teams and just really being able to have components and build up a library around that. And Vue, I haven't played with too much. The strength I tend to see is that it kind of combines some of the Angular and React stuff, but some of the weaknesses I've heard is that it's a little bit tougher to just throw in all your own custom JavaScript in the way that you might be able to with React. And one final thing I'll say is that with all the like JavaScript fury and what's new and what's next, it's almost like we have devalued stable software. Because once something is like, you take Backbone, for example, it's like, oh no, that's not cool or helpful anymore. It's like, but it's stable. Extremely stable. Like, we got to give some credit for things. Angular 1, again, is like extremely stable and does things well. And I don't want us to lose sight of these other technologies, because I actually really enjoyed playing with Backbone and Marietta a lot more than I thought, and I really enjoyed it. But that's just kind of my broad overarching take on it.
Joe, how many times have you had to repackage React during the build process of the project?
A lot. I'll take these four frameworks out. I'll give my kind of like completely opinionated subjective.
That's all we could ask for.
Yeah, view on just like where these are at. I'm sure people won't agree with me broadly. I think like Zach was saying, the kind of Backbone and Underscores is pretty tried and tested, a little old school now, probably. Very stable still, and again, like very data first, kind of allows you to still do the MVC type of thing. So that's kind of like most established, like in terms of establishment. After that, I probably put Angular, which is like a nuts and bolts included framework, which allows you to have a really big team. It's kind of like similar to something like Java or something like that, right? It's like, how do I take my 500 person organization and like make everybody do the same stuff and like have the same technology for a long time, which is got its merits, but personally not something that I'm just that interested in. Then React, like React was the cool new thing, obviously isn't anymore, been around a couple of years, but a fantastic ecosystem. But as I think you alluded to, React is like the UI layer. It starts at the UI and you kind of add data later, and Backbone
dig
is
your
the
way,
opposite approach.
Dig your way down to
right,
the other stuff.
And Backbone is like, no, you want to define your core data and build up from that. And in terms of moving quickly, like there's, I think, no doubt that starting with the UI is a good way to actually work out what the data abstraction should be. I'm a kind of fan of not abstracting early, and something like starting with UI allows you to do that quite well. And then Vue, on the other hand, now is the cool new thing, right? That is like where React was a couple of years ago. It's got some new ideas, like the syntax that it has is pretty cool as well. I think like a lot of energy around it, but it for me, it's still to be seen whether Vue can pull itself out of just being the new framework. React definitely managed to do that. Maybe it's a little early to say on Vue whether it's not going to fall by the wayside as a new cool framework comes out.
Configuration and opinion-wise, Vue is somewhere kind of in the middle too, right? Like Vue Router, for instance, is an officially supported router for Vue, but it's not in the base framework. You can just get Vue without Vue Router.
Right.
And et cetera. Like there's four or five of these.
Yeah. And if you listen to the, the authors of these libraries, then they all have different philosophies around what should the library do and what should we leave up to the, to user land and for the community to do. React says that all we do is rendering components and everything else is up to the community. Angular, on the other hand, says, no, we want to provide a definitive way to build your whole application. And then, like you say, Vue is like sitting probably near the React end on that continuum. So again, like none of these approaches are right or wrong. I think I would say like the React approach is probably stronger in the long run, because you get to evolve each different part of the application stack, right? So you have React itself, but then you have something like Redux. You have Redux replaced previous unidirectional data flow of different implementations. Again, with things like routing, there's been like a lot of experimentation iteration on that. So you have a continually evolving ecosystem, whereas on Angular, it's like, okay, now we wait for Angular 3, and then that drops, and then we reroute our apps in Angular 3, and then like 5 years later, Angular 4 drops. So it's a slightly just different approach to development. And for me, I just more enjoy, I think, the constantly evolving piece that is React. And I think in a, you know, there's maybe some parallels there between WordPress's constantly evolving approach versus something like Drupal and how they go for like the big breaking changes every so often.
I want to get into the WordPress integration, or like I want to touch more on what you're talking about, because especially routing is always the easy example for me, like because WordPress has a way of doing something, but then these JavaScript frameworks have a way to do something. But first I want to look at the reliability component, like kind of finish up on that. One of the things I look at in choosing a WordPress plugin, for instance, the author is important to me, because to be frank, I will trust a plugin that's made by a company and has some reason for being supported in the long run, maybe has a business plan behind it, so that I can rely on it for maybe a 5-year tenure. Like that's not out of reason. Looking at these JavaScript frameworks, it kind of seems like it's worth analyzing them from that same front, because like, you know, some are made by one person and you don't, like maybe they don't even do it full time, or they're just recently doing it full time. And then you got something like React that's all of Facebook supports it, and like so many huge applications are relying on it, that kind of cements its future in a way. How important is that for y'all, both for your personal preferences, but also for what, how you think someone should analyze these? Like, is it possible, like Vue, for instance, it's one person, right, that created all these. What are the chances Vue just like falls off the map?
Yeah, so I think there's, like, for me, there's two questions. One is like, when you're making a strategic decision to invest money, right, it's kind of important if something is going to stay around. But even for a personal project, I, in a slight kind of game theory sense, want to choose something that other people are also going to choose. And I know that other people are probably unlikely to choose something that's not supported. So it's not just about if I want to hack over the weekend on a cool JavaScript framework, I need to take into account not only how well that's supported, but also the wider ecosystem and how they're trusting, because that dictates how many tutorials you're going to get, how many add-on plugins and libraries you're going to get for something like that. I think even if you look at Angular, like Angular is supported by Google, but and Facebook is supporting React. But if you look a little deeper, then like Facebook.com is on React. Instagram.com is on React. Instagram's app is half built in React Native. Like they're using that technology throughout. And if you look at Google, that isn't the case for Angular in the same way. And we kind of know Google's reputation for retiring projects at this point as well. So I don't know that it's quite as cemented as React.
A little bit of a Google burn there.
You know, they're supporting it. So again, like if you look at...
Just never forgive them for Google Reader. They killed RSS.
iGoogle, that's where I was at. Did you ever have iGoogle? I love that thing. And like we know from WordPress how difficult open source projects are to support, and to keep momentum up and keep energy, and you need a lot of financial support there as well. You need a lot of community backing and everything. So I think who is supporting and using a library is just really important. If you think that you're going to be tethered to that technology for, you know, 2-3 years or more.
I want your take on this, Zach.
Well, my take is you nailed that one, Joe. So not much to say there. I think to shift it a teeny bit, where I am specifically, especially as I just finished teaching a ton of JavaScript and now the API, and I'm getting ready to start integrating courses on the frameworks, I do have to think and plan longevity-wise, because I don't have the bandwidth to constantly re-record everything. But the biggest thing I personally look for is actually who in the WordPress community has leveraged these, written about it, produced stuff that I could then go and look at and leverage. So that's we have the flag in the JavaScript world, but then in the WordPress bubble, we have our own interpretation and insights and where we are with JavaScript. So that's probably the biggest thing for me, and shout out to people like Josh Pollock who are writing Vue articles right now, and that's cool. But at the end of the day, I'm picking React to start with teaching one, also because, like you said, how Facebook runs on React, well, we have Calypso, and that's a pretty big project and a pretty massive thing, and it's, you know, running, it's out there working and running, so
yet another organization has a stake in it.
That is a huge stake in it, and is very publicly encouraging all of us to, you know,
play with Calypso.
Exactly. So for me, that's an easy choice. We don't see anything that big with Angular out there. Definitely not with Vue. Backbone is also an easy choice because it's in core. So, you know, definitely covering that. So maybe that helps some folks, but I definitely say that in that analysis at this point, React probably is within the WordPress ecosystem, maybe a bit easier to get up and running with in terms of having the community, the resources, people to be able to ask, and the experience in production.
So let's get into the WordPress side of things in just a second. But first, let's take a break to thank one of our partners. And I'd actually be remiss to not give a shout out to our hosts here today at Boku. Boku has been an incredible partner for the whole A Day of Rest event. They've hosted our two workshops. So a special shout out to Boku and our honorary WordPress community representative, Kadam, on that front. Kadam White was both a presenter for A Day of Rest, and he's doing a workshop right now that on Webpack. So Kadam's been an awesome friend of Human Made and PostStatus, and Zach with JavaScript for MVP, and Boku have been incredible hosts. So thank them for letting us record this podcast here, and also thank you to Delicious Brains for making WP Migrate DB Pro, everybody's favorite tool for migrating WordPress sites and doing all the things that you don't want to deal with, like replacing those strings in your database and managing all the various paths that you have to deal with. You don't have to go and do all the nasty little things when you're migrating if you use WP Migrate DB Pro. It's a super great tool, and we are thankful that they are a PostStatus partner and part of this show. So thank you to WP Migrate DB Pro. All right. WordPress's place with these JavaScript frameworks. Let's get into that, because I'll stick with routing for a little bit, because me and Joe pronounce it differently, first of all. WordPress has its own routing. It's very opinionated. You just get it out of the box. These frameworks, they can do routing too with certain tooling. So like, that's one of the most confusing things to me. So yeah. how do you get around all this, and how do you make WordPress play nicely with a framework like this?
Yeah, the short answer is you don't. So I happened to be chatting to somebody about this yesterday, and it took a while for me to really nail down what they, you know, it started out with a talk about menus, but really what they meant was a talk about routing. So this comes into building decoupled websites, really, where you want to render things in JavaScript at the URLs that you would expect, and you would want somebody to be able to click on a link in your menu and it not actually do a full page reload, but pull in the new data for that URL. So this is what we call routing in the UK, and what you call routing here.
Other places that don't use the letter Z.
I guess maybe that is that the correlation. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, this is a difficult problem at the best of times, even if you had a good routing system in your CMS. Unfortunately, we don't even have that.
Yeah, so. But we should start by saying, like, WordPress loads what it loads based on the URL. Like, the URL informs yes. WordPress. It gives it hints on some stack of rules.
Right.
And it says, like, load this post type, load these pieces of content.
Right, and that is how JavaScript routing frameworks also function at a fundamental level, right? All routing frameworks really are taking your URL and working out what piece of content do I need to display here. The problem is WordPress's ones are not necessarily declarative. And they are at a superficial level of you have rewrite rules, right? That's what a rewrite rule is. It just says, for this pattern, display this piece of content.
Which is why, for instance, like posts, you have a lot of flexibility, but pages are probably the fuzziest because it's just / whatever.
Yeah, so that's an incredibly difficult thing to do routing.
Like, but when you get into post types and taxonomies, you have a base. So like that base is what is informing WordPress like really quickly, okay, this is this post type or whatever.
Yeah.
So how does that correlate then to...
Yeah, so the biggest reason it is difficult is in WordPress routing, you have access to the database. And usually when we're talking about JavaScript routing, we don't have access to the database. So what that means is if you have / about as your homepage, there's no way to deterministically say, oh, well, that is going to be a page you're looking for. What you have to do is look in your database for all the pages and see if it's one of those. If it's not, then WordPress will say, okay, well, is there something else that this could match? And it's very difficult to do that style of routing in JavaScript where you're not anywhere near the database. So that's kind of the problem space as I see it. And there's also things around like the WordPress redirect canonical functionality as well, which is about 700 lines of insane written.
Meaning if I give a partial URL, it tries to find where I meant to go.
Yeah, it's essentially a guessing function. And again, that requires access to the database to like check, oh, well, was this slug an old slug of a post maybe? If so, redirect to that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of functionality you get for free there by WordPress that is developed over, 15 years now of layered on layered features of WordPress. And this goes to something that Petya was talking about in her talk yesterday. About really understanding some things right now that you're giving up by building a decoupled website.
So, Zach, tell us what it means when Joe says JavaScript is declarative, like these frameworks are declarative when you have to say what's going on. So, like, describe what the consequences of that are from a routing perspective.
Actually, Joe, maybe you should explain better what you mean.
I think I know.
Yeah, so the point is, like, ideally with routing, you can use regular expressions to match what content should be where. So you do that in post types, you have like a base to your post type, and then you don't need to know. You can have a rule and you can tell what piece of content you should display based off of that rule. So let's say all of our routing was done that way. Then in JavaScript, like, you could just have those rules duplicated. Probably that would be where you would start, at least.
So for a day of rest site, for instance, in the JavaScript application, you declared that like the / page base was going to mirror WordPress pages.
Yeah, so the routing structure for the day of rest site, I purposefully changed to be completely declarative. So I could know, for example, it's / user, then a user slug, it's / page, then a page slug, it's / category, then a category name.
But a consequence of that is if you did not declare a category base and create a rule within the React framework or whatever you're using for routing, then what you get for, quote, free in WordPress of category archives just won't exist, right?
Not only will it not exist, it's virtually impossible to do that type of thing. And again, because WordPress was built on the assumption that, like, oh, well, at the worst case, we can just check the database if any of these URLs should exist, you just don't have that on the JavaScript side necessarily. So the freedom that WordPress rewrite rules give you, unfortunately, does not necessarily extend to the capabilities of what you have just in a decoupled environment. And that is really, the crux that is making this a difficult problem to solve is if you allow certain capabilities, right, in the system, and then you add something later that doesn't have those capabilities, it's like you've now got a problem of, well, people are used to being able to have just slash page name. That's a perfectly acceptable thing to do.
Good. I'm much happier that you explained that rather than I. But there are some interesting points here. One is that, yes, if you're going to be building decoupled, you probably are going to be building around assumptions that things will look exactly this and not really change a bunch. And you do need to go in with the knowledge that if you begin to change things or you want to do things like add new archives or different things like that, that will involve development. But I don't personally see as much of an issue there, just because, well, ultimately you may just have to rebuild the whole routing system from WordPress, but you probably will only need a small portion of it. The thing about routing to me that has been interesting is a little bit, it's easier to look at it inside of WordPress. So let's say that we have a theme that is basically an empty div with no content displaying, and you access a URL on the page, we have to grab it, and we can kind of kick in, let WordPress do its work at first, and then pull that in. But something else happens is like the server component. And I think that when we talk about routing, we also need to get into the level of, it might be helpful to be serving up some of the stuff server-side-wise, because one of the things that happens when you switch from doing routing with a hashtag in your URL string, it's a lot easier to work with that structure in WordPress because you're technically only working with kind of one page. But when you start to add true URL structure, like /this page/this page, then that is going to kind of require and I think be a little bit more important that we serve stuff up to start with. And so that kind of raises a whole nother issue about routing of, are we building completely client side or are we able to serve stuff up initially on that page load?
I do want to broaden the discussion. I just have always liked routing as the example because it is one of those things where WordPress is opinionated and it does things, which is itself a double-edged sword. One of my favorite things of the past of checking out whether a custom website, built by some agency, whether they know WordPress or not, is to go find some random archive URL and see whether they knew to check it to see what's there and see the styles on that. And that's one of those things that, like, if you're not a WordPress developer, you're styling the things that you declare in your application as a view or a template that you need. Whereas in JavaScript, like, if you don't say it's got to be there, it's not going to be there. So, like, coming to terms with these two ways of looking at something is where WordPress has to find a happy place with JavaScript.
Yeah, and I guess the way that I was previously talking about it, which maybe is the wrong way of looking at this problem, is like, how do we have exactly the same functionality that we have now when you're building a decoupled site? Right. And why would you want that? Well, I guess the kind of reason I want it is because I want all things to be capable just technically this way. But realistically speaking, if you're somebody that is building your own decoupled website, like Brian says, you're probably going to know exactly what functionality you want. What routes do you actually want? Just hard code those into your JavaScript.
I want to push back on that a little bit.
Sure.
So Kelly Don yesterday talked about theming with React and, like, can you have a React theme or JavaScript theme that enables a front-end developer to kind of get out of templating with WordPress to be honest, a lot of people that aren't PHP developers or like hybrid developers, WordPress theming is extremely intimidating because you've got all this business logic in your template structure, for instance. So one of the reasons, like, you still don't want to give up all the fun stuff WordPress does for you for free sometimes, mm-hmm. but you do want these tooling things that are more modern and more front-end abstracted. Like, that's the marriage that I think is I would love to see be able to exist.
Yeah, and this is where when I first got into the JavaScript and API, decoupled was my fascination. Like, I just started rebuilding a front-end thing, a customizer, admin, you know, whatever I could. And the more I did that, the more I realized this is a horrible idea because I have to rebuild everything. And watching...
You have to rebuild WordPress.
Yeah, I have to rebuild, which is, I actually like that idea. That sounds like a fun project, but I know that it's not realistic for me personally. So watching Kelly Dawn's work with the Foxhound theme, which we have as a free project on JavaScript for WP, has been really cool because she's going through the theme review process and more it's about, okay, make sure that... Well, I think one part of that was that it is helpful to leverage themes if you're trying to keep a lot of the WordPress functionality and don't necessarily decouple it just because you can if you want to build a site that's going to have a lot of that stuff. And so what you see is that you still get to have a few PHP templates and that can help unite WordPress and also give your JS a little bit more backbone and stuff behind there, right?
Is there... Could you envision a world where there were specific modules so that in your JavaScript application configuration, you essentially include WordPressy stuff as like a module and that helps create the marriage a bit?
That's how I kind of see this working because it's true, like Zach was saying, that like, cool, you get into it and then you're like, oh, but what about this like functionality I take for granted? And then you're like...
Like WP editor, like stuff.
Like yeah, like exactly, like O embeds that like go into the editor.
So right.
Something like that. Luckily that one is fairly encapsulated, so you're okay with that, but there is a lot of...
There's lots of those.
Those type of things, yeah. I think the end goal for me is to be able to go fully decoupled, and like you said, you would want a lot of different modules just to cover these different areas, depending on what you wanted. Another one is like RSS feeds. Like, how do you do RSS feeds in a decoupled environment? Like, you can do that, right? But like, how this would probably work is you're actually pulling JSON through an API and like outputting XML or something. And you don't necessarily need all of these features on all websites. If you're making a simple theme like I made for A Day of Rest, like I didn't need things like redirect canonical. It just wasn't really worth the overhead there probably to do that. But at some point, I'm going to need it. And hopefully, I can write it in such a way that I can release it as a library. And hopefully, other people that are running into these problems will do the same thing. And it may be a multiple year process to get to doing that. But like you said, being able to untether yourself from the requirement of PHP templates is a pretty powerful thing. Like I was explaining earlier, like even how we're building out, starting this project with a component library, there's nothing to do with WordPress. There's nothing to do with routing. We're allowing designers and front-end engineers to fully build things without any reliance on WordPress. And that has been a goal of development in WordPress for a long time, I think, with people trying to keep their templates simpler and not having logic in them. But you've still got the requirement of, oh, you know, you need a local install, you need a database server, you need PHP. You got to do all of this if you're a designer wanting to contribute to a site on WordPress.
How does the REST API fit into that whole conversation? Because if you are decoupling WordPress, then your only real way of retrieving the information that you need is through the API. And the API itself is kind of the same concept of like, let's redo everything WordPress does in the API. Like, how does that play into this whole thing?
Well, since I have this opportunity, I want to make a big plea out there to plugin developers, because I feel we're at the mercy in the WordPress system of plugin developers like we haven't been in a very, very long time. Because a great example for API is the Menus API plugin that will basically help you get access to menus that you could edit in WordPress and then pull in all that data into a decoupled app. And like trying to do that on your own is a ton of work, but using that plugin makes that aspect way, way easier.
Well, and realistically, that's the type of thing that is fine as a plugin now, but that's got to go into the API or in WordPress core itself if we're going to, if decoupled WordPress is going to be legit.
Yeah, but I don't think that Joe's wrong in saying that this can be a couple year process easy. So
especially for less, for more arbitrary data, like menus is more straightforward perhaps, but like widgets, for instance, could be anything a plugin developer ever wants to put on the internet.
Right, so, exactly. So the more plugin developers can do right now, the more folks that just learn how to register roots, go out and start contributing to plugins. There are so many opportunities right now that could really help building decoupled things. The more we're able to pull in and do that, the core API, isn't doing at this point. I think that that is really helpful in the short term.
So the benefit there for a plugin developer, I guess, would be that they are making their plugin functionality accessible to decoupled WordPress.
Yeah, and you're the jam because the list of these is pretty short in terms of how many are really at. Well, no, that's not true. Some of the bigger ones are growing, but I think that you can also niche your plugin pretty well, even if, other people do the same plugin, theirs won't be API enabled, and that will open you up and probably get you some good development loyalty or developer loyalty.
I know plugins with lots of data creation, like e-commerce solutions or whatever, like they've got it. But what about plugins that are kind of template enhancements, for instance? Like how could Yoast SEO, for instance, integrate with the API to bring the same type of SEO features that you get from WordPress templating structure to JavaScript?
Yeah, and it changes a little bit, but let's take a quick example first, something a little more simple than Yoast SEO. Like something that allows you to, say, attach videos as features instead of images, something like that. So really what both me and Zach are advocating for there is people start making that data available via the REST API. So it's very pretty easy as a plugin developer to include the custom thing that you're building in the REST API. When you look at something like Yoast SEO, then again, there's a lot of data, right? Each post now has things like keywords, and it has what is the title when it is shared on Facebook. All of that is just extra data that you can tack on in the REST API. But there's this whole other side of Yoast SEO, which is kind of actually putting these optimizations in your page, rewriting some of the page structure. All of that is, there's no clear way forward for how to carry that forward into, where you're now building your template in JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested how that could work. I think, how Zach was mentioning a PHP hybrid approach, like something like rendering the head of your page in WordPress, but none of the body, would it give you all of the Yoast SEO meta tags and stuff like that.
And that can be performant and work nice.
Yeah. So that could be a stopgap longer term. Like we're just not that sure yet, which I think is totally okay. If you look at something like what Calypso was trying to do with allowing plugin developers being in their admin, then we're kind of exploring the space of how do we allow third parties to change the JavaScript side of things. And having the technology barrier of one thing is in PHP and one thing is rendered somewhere else is actually I think can be a good one because you've now got to be smart about the decisions, right? You've got to properly declare your data and provide processes. So when Calypso wants to allow somebody to add some UI, you can't have the Metabox API that we've had in the past, which is core, which is just put your PHP here. And now we're in a situation where we can't evolve Metaboxes because it's not been written through a declarative API, right? We've never had a fields API. It's
arbitrary data.
Yeah. If we started with a fields API, we could have been evolving UIs for years and years in different form factors for mobile, having fantastic different experiences. But when you start out at just put your PHP stuff here, which is what Yoast SEO has obviously been given the capability to do for people's themes. When we go to a much more restricted or different technology stack, that arbitrary data just isn't really usable anymore.
Let's finish the show by completing this process of backing up from fully, you know, JavaScript applications, headless style. And I would like to ask y'all an example of using JavaScript or the API or whatever as more of a partial, like an enhancement to existing WordPress websites. For on post status, for instance, there's lots of features that I think probably could be better if I was utilizing a lot of these same JavaScript tools, things that are available to us. What are some examples of things that you think could really enhance the existing WordPress experience?
Yeah, this is something that I've actually had a really hard time coming up with, because honestly, you could do things like pull in a list of recent posts in your sidebar, but is that really something that should be done with the API in JavaScript? I think my favorite thing to recommend now is taking something like what might be a portfolio index landing page, rebuilding that with React or something so that you could have a really cool, quick, interactive experience, as opposed to in the past, it might have just been a grid of posts and then you click through and you go through to that post. So that only has to exist on that one page. That JavaScript only has to be enqueued for that one page. The rest of your site works perfectly. And then because you have a WordPress theme, let's say that they clicked into your app and refreshed the page, they'd actually probably be directed to the actual individual project page as opposed to then on your app. So that's kind of coming back with that routing too, and you get the benefit. So you'd build your full theme and you'd build the individual page templates for the projects, but you'd enhance it with that index page. So that's probably, I think, the best place that a lot of folks can start from my thoughts.
So an example for you, Joe.
I think on that point, like the general enhancement is just a much easier way to go in the short term. Like we've talked about a lot of quite theoretical things here, of like, what is the end goal of like building completely crazy things? But that's, we're not gonna appear there. We need to go through a transitionary process. And I think that's gotta start by enhancing stuff. We've had Ajax for a long time and it's fairly heavily used, but it could be heavier used than it is right now. And I think hopefully just like the REST API, making grabbing that data really easily will do that.
Mm-hmm.
Specifics for themes for me have always been things like live searching, live commenting, live comment updating, for example, or like pagination, like clicking through pages on full page reloads is just a ridiculous thing.
Could even be a core feature.
Right.
I'll finish. There's also construction about to start, apparently. But I'll finish with an example of something that I think has got a lot of opportunity based on some recent work I've been doing. So like if you log into PostStatus, I really need the My Account area to be this hub of your membership experience, to where you can see content, you can manage your profile, you can manage your details, you can do all these things. And one of the things I've noticed is that, like, I would really benefit from that whole My Account experience being much more JavaScript driven to make it nicer. So to me, it's a pretty clear example of where between a mix of plugins or me doing custom development could really enhance the experience within a WordPress theme and still doing all the WordPressy stuff, but then use all these tools we've been talking about today as like this massive beneficial enhancement to the overall experience. Do you agree that that's like a good opportunity?
Yeah, totally. And I think like there's a really important reason to actually do all of this, because it's quite easy to look at it and just be like, well, it was in PHP before and now it's in JavaScript. It's just one thing or the other. Once you have written something in JavaScript using the REST API, it is no longer like stuck to actually where you wanted to put it. So a good example of this is like I wrote an editor that's using the REST API for editing posts. If you write that in JavaScript, you can put that where you want, right? Wherever you have a list of posts, you can now just have somebody click edit on it and pop that up right there. If you've done that in PHP, you're probably gonna be tied to the specific page you needed to be on, all of that kind of approach. So if you're going, like you say, and you want your account to be all powered by JavaScript, it's going to be really easy for you to pull parts of that account into other parts of the website later on and literally reuse the same components mm-hmm. part of the code, because the REST API is agnostic to where it's being accessed from. And that isn't necessarily the case when you hard code everything PHP style.
Let's leave it there. I think that this has been a really fun discussion to kind of think through where JavaScript and WordPress can play nicely together moving forward. We've had a heck of a few days to dive deep between the REST API and JavaScript in general. Due to time restrictions, I'll sign us off and say, please go visit Zach's projects if you want to know more about JavaScript with WordPress. That's literally his job. So JavaScript4WP.com. And then follow Zach on Z Gordon, at Z Gordon on Twitter, and then Joe_Hoyle on Twitter as well. That's the only one. He'll send you the tweets. go to poststatus.com/club and join. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of this episode of the Draft Podcast. We'll catch you next time.